Meet us at the scoreboard.
Ethan, York, and Quincy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Muddy. I'm Ashley Conrad. Joining me today, Margie Williams with Brain Trauma Awareness Organization. And you are the president. Is that correct?
Yes, that okay. is true.
So can you give me a little information about the organization and what you do for our community?
We've been in this organization for a long time. We started in 1982 as the Quincy Head Injury Support Group. Then about 2007, we became a nonprofit and we kind of widened our name to include anybody with any kind of brain issue. So it could be a brain injury, it could be a brain concussion, brain tumor, seizures, anything that interferes with how your brain works. And what our mission of our group is to help promote prevention. Right. Also, we used to do a lot of prevention activities. Those are not too, since COVID, not around too much.
Right.
Now we do one-on-one support as people are going through a brain injury. We have a connecting group. We call it a networking group that we meet at the Quincy Library, usually once a month.
Okay.
In the afternoon, late afternoon, and the days vary. And then we also have a caregiver support group for parents, spouses, children who are needing somebody who's going through the same things that
sure,
they are.
Absolutely, yeah. So just a listening ear maybe even, right?
Yeah, as I tell somebody, I've been in the field since 1979. Wouldn't you like a guide that kind of understands what you're going through?
Right.
I've been a nurse both in pediatric rehab, ICU, and then I've been a support group leader for probably about 40 years.
Wow.
And my family has had multiple brain injuries, concussions. So
you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, kind of do.
Kind of do, yeah.
Kind of do.
Which is nice. And you mentioned, so you have it for, you have support groups for the individual who is experiencing brain trauma, which can be anywhere from, you know, a light concussion to a severe
brain injury.
Right.
Yeah.
And depending on the level of trauma, that recovery or even that support network can take on a host of different meanings and just the level of support that you need, right?
Yeah, a different, you know, a lot of times we like to call ourselves connectors. We like to connect people with resources.
There you go.
So if somebody was looking for that their child had a concussion and they wondered how that would affect them going back to school.
Right.
That would be one kind of connection. If we had somebody that was in a severe motor vehicle accident and was in a coma, looking for placement after the initial ICU and rehab phase.
Gotcha.
As I tell people, I have followed some people for 40 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
outstanding.
And you know, they used to say, once you recover from a brain injury after a year, that's all you get. And I'm here to tell you.
That's not the case.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like probably the best sport analogy. You know how many people kind of sprain their ankle?
Yeah.
And that ankle just is not good.
Never, yeah, it's never the
same.
You
know, they cannot run that 5K or that marathon right. again. You know, at the end, it's a little, well, that's how if you kind of shake up your brain a little
yeah.
bit. You know, it's going to be your weak link.
Yeah.
And there's things that you can do. So we like to help people to say how they can be brain sharp.
There you go. Yeah, exercising it, right?
I mean, well, you know, research shows that really very intense regular exercise is the best thing for your brain.
Really?
Yeah, and especially after after a brain injury. So
who would have thought, right? I think it makes sense, and this is probably only one aspect of it, but when you're, you know, you're exercising, you're breathing deeper, right? And you're getting oxygen to your brain and probably right. helping promote
you're helping the
healing.
Helping the healing, but there's lots of things that you can do for good brain health.
Right.
One of the things that we like to is help support people during transitions. So especially school-age children. My own son was injured at a Gus Macker game. And that was his first injury. And yeah. he went on to have five more. And he's recovered and has done exceptionally well. So we also, during hard times, sometimes it's nice to hear a story of hope.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately in the medical community, and I am a doctorally prepared nurse, in fact my dissertation was on how to help people recover for the long haul in the community from Rush University back in 2001. But sometimes it just helps to see, you know, there could be another flip side.
Sure.
So I've seen lots of miracles in my day.
Yeah. That's outstanding. Incredible. So, and we're talking about concussions. A lot of times when you hear brain injury, brain trauma, you don't necessarily relate to concussion because I think they are so prevalent, especially what you mentioned, you know, the sports that are coming up, the baseball, the even softball, like I mentioned, volleyball. I mean, there are, you know, there are risks.
Yeah, and there are some sports that are, 1 year, I remember I sat outside the college cafeteria and I interviewed all of the athletes that were going by.
Yeah.
And I said, so what are you? Okay, oh, you're a quarterback. Okay, you're not going to get as much. You know, linebacker, you know, soccer players.
Right.
One of the sports that a lot of times people don't even think of is golf.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh my gosh,
a golf ball. But here, because I've done so many prevention seminars and so many talking through the age, this is what really resonates with me. People would say, oh, I had one. You know, I didn't do too well in college that semester.
Really?
Yeah. Too many people have kind of blown off
yeah.
a concussion. But now I think everybody knows that for people who are in organized sport, there's athletic trainers, your coaches know there's a protocol.
Right.
But what I have seen in my career of prevention is people that are little. So yeah. for instance, my grandson fell from a tree. I had a granddaughter recently who was injured on the playground
yeah.
and fell and had a concussion. So we don't blow them off anymore. You should seek medical advice.
Absolutely.
And there is a new, if you go to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, they have a lot of brand new pamphlets. And in fact, we're handing them out tomorrow. The name of that is Signs and Symptoms and a Fact Sheet for Parents. We're sponsoring a working together for Week of the Young Child today.
Gotcha, today.
At 10 o'clock at the Quincy Public Library.
Excellent.
It's Week of the Young Child, and we are doing a healthy for your brain reading event, and then we're going to harvest greens from my tower garden.
Excellent.
And then we're going to plant each little child is going to read. We're going to read the book about the carrot seed, and they're going to plant a carrot seed.
Aww, how perfect.
In a little pot, and then they're going to eat carrots.
Perfect, which is a brain food, right?
Everything.
Yes.
So
yes.
Green fruits and vegetables are good for your brain.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's tomorrow, Week of the Young Child celebration at the Quincy Public Library at 10 a.m. Or that's today. Today, 10 a.m. So make sure you head that way. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it will be a lot of fun.
If anybody wants more information on the Brain Trauma Awareness
Organization. We're on Facebook.
Okay.
It's probably the fastest, easiest way.
Okay.
The Brain Trauma Awareness Organization is the fastest way to find us. We also have a website called the Brain Trauma Awareness Organization, if you spell it out.
Okay.
And probably the best contact person is myself, Dr. Margie Williams.
Okay, excellent. Dr. Margie Williams, thank you so much. I learned a ton, of course, and thank you for continuing on your mission. I appreciate it, and I know others do as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, coming up, Britt B. and Ash C. and Coffee Talk. Stay tuned.
Replay is your local sports bar. With 18 big screen TVs, we have all the sports packages from college games to pro games. We offer daily drink specials and come check out the bullpen, our newly renovated beer garden. Instant Replay, 2739 Chestnut in Quincy.
Welcome to the Abbey, a Quincy tradition.
With 6 big screens, a new larger kitchen, and now more seating capacity, the Abbey is the place to be before, during, and after the big game. Come enjoy fan favorite appetizers, steaks, burgers, and a variety of daily food and drink specials. Can't join us? Carryout is available too. Now with a convenient drive-up window to better serve you. 1736 Spring in Quincy. Opens at 3 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday.
Come join all your friends at the Abbey, a Quincy tradition.
The Tower, a great place to meet and eat. But did you know the Tower has one of the finest drink selections in our area? Along with its incredible Mexican menu, the Tower specializes in tequilas for every taste. Names like Patron, Cabo Wabo, and Hornitos. And don't forget the margaritas. On Mondays and Tuesdays, stop by and pick up a single topping pizza and get Tower margaritas to go. Enjoy the Tower at home or in our dining room, bar area, or the Tower's signature climate-controlled porch. The Tower Pizza and Mexican.
Are you looking for the perfect venue for your next special event? Check out Utopia Event Center.
Utopia has a large banquet room and an awesome bar area, perfect for anything from birthday parties to formal corporate meetings. It also offers a photo booth, stage for a DJ or a live band, and a fully stocked bar, all for only $300. Check us out at utopiaeventcenter.com or call Barn at 217-430-6559 for more information. Utopia Event Center, 900 North 12th Street in Quincy.
The Liquor Booth is your home for a huge selection of beer, wine, and spirits. The Liquor Booth has two locations in Quincy, 3520 Broadway and 1500 North 12th Street. The Liquor Booth, where it's always happy hour.
And welcome back. Now it's time for Coffee Talk. I don't know what camera I'm supposed to be looking at.
Me either.
This one or this one?
Two shot.
Okay.
The one shot.
Okay.
Hi.
Shot.
All right. We're still going?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. So as you can tell, I'm kind of not with it today. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe the eclipse has had a some kind of effect on my brain.
I went outside the other day when it happened, and I mean, I wore my glasses, but
yeah.
I felt like my head was a little wonky
it
afterwards.
Was. I think it's because it was like the dimness, maybe. It felt real, real
it
weird.
It was weird.
It was like
weird.
Eerie. I forgot to pick up glasses, so I made one of those viewer boxes.
I saw that. That was really cool.
Okay, it was cool. I'm not going to say I'm a crafter, because I'm definitely not, but let's just say I was a little let down because everybody else is outside with their cool glasses getting to stare directly at this eclipse. And mm-hmm. I'm looking through this box and I can see a shadow, like a bright thing of just this little bitty circle.
I saw your picture of it that you posted.
On Hank Campers?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, he was like, let's see all those pictures.
Brace yourself.
Brace yourself. Yeah.
I was the eclipse like, pictures are coming.
I was like, here's mine. Add this to the wall of fame.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
So that happened the other day, and also the other day there was the city council meeting, and I heard a, I guess, podcast or I don't know what
a
you
vlog.
Call it, a vlog
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, video blog
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and it got my mind turning on it, and this guy said something about people getting involved, and
yeah.
He was calling people out by name, and he's like, yeah, bro, you know, really getting them involved in his vlog or whatever.
Sure.
But also getting them involved in, you know, city council, whatnot, I guess, amping it up.
Yeah.
And that's something I guess you need to do for getting people involved.
Yeah.
And he's doing it his way, and I think it's great. But one of the things he said was, you know, you can do that, or I understand why you don't do that, because you have a family and a business. So that made, you know, my wheels turn a little bit, and he has a point, but it's also not right, you know, like the point being, if you have a family or if you have a business, is
you
the
have
risk
to tiptoe?
Yeah, is
yeah.
the risk more than reward? And the answer to that is yeah. I mean, I think so in this community sometimes.
I think it depends on your desired outcome and how your family will be affected. I think about things like, okay, so opportunity versus cost, which is kind of what we're talking, you know,
yeah.
right? So a lot of times the things that we're talking about may not have generational impact, but sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about tiptoeing because you have a family, I guess the question would be, do I want to get involved so that I leave a better place for my kids?
Yeah.
Right? Or if I get involved, am I going to create a shitstorm?
For
my family.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you do have to tiptoe, or everything is always affected. You might say the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, your kid doesn't have the playing time that they used to have. I'm not saying, but like in a small community like that,
you're
like
that
this, he has a point.
Yeah.
But then again, it's the people that do have families and businesses that should be the ones getting involved.
They
I think
they have the most stake in things that are happening, I think, right?
So he just made a point that I was like, huh. That
it is something to chew on, because you want to, I mean, personally, I want to be involved, because I mean, hopefully my kids stay in Quincy or at least come back a lot to visit because of, you know, because it's a great place. It's a safe place. But also I know that there's trepidation on certain people's minds because they know, that there is a very, I don't even like using this word because it's so negative, but it's almost a cliquey group that is in charge of a lot of stuff in Quincy. And it's not, maybe not just one group, but it's a few groups who have, I don't know. There's like,
a pull or a power, I guess.
Something like that. And it's because they are involved and they're heavily connected throughout our organization or our community or their organizations. And I believe that if other people wanted to get involved, maybe they could also have those connections. But I also don't feel like you should ever have to put your family or your business on the line to be heard.
Yeah. In regards to that, too, one other thing that like made the wheels turn was there are people with businesses, and it's like either their family owns the business.
Mm-hmm.
So they, when they risk speaking out on something, how much are they actually risking? I mean, I know you're risking polarization of the business, but are you really risking polarization of your job? So I don't know. I hear people say sometimes, I wish people would speak their minds more.
Yeah.
Well, they're not all in the same position, you know, the fluffy position, if you will.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at, let's say, I'm just going to throw like a Bonapite out, right? And you sit him down on a podcast and you're asking him like hard hitting questions about religion and, you know, poverty and how we, what we should do with homeless people in Quincy. And he's probably going to have a little more reserve when he's answering, because he does have that customer base and a large employment pool at Napite. And he doesn't want to, you know, say the wrong thing, even if he does have opinions on it. So you do have to be, I think you do have to be a little more careful. But at the same time, when something's affecting your business or your employees or the safety of any of that and your family, you definitely have to get loud.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and I think you have to kind of pick and choose your battles when it comes to what you want to, what hill you want to die on.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think if you die on every hill, your voice becomes noise.
Yes.
Does that?
I think absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I think if you, whether your family owns the business or you started it from the ground up, you do still have to worry about the polarization of your customer base, your employee base. But I do think they're, you know, the stakes do get a little higher. So if something were to affect said business, you should get loud. And you shouldn't worry about...
who would have... Well...
Right.
I guess the risk.
Yeah, right.
It. Yeah. And one last thing I will say on this is I heard this vlog or whatever through somebody. It was like a rock that I would not normally turn over.
Yeah. I loved your analogy on that.
Yeah. And, but sometimes you got to look at these things and you learn something from it. And like I said, you got my wheels turning. So
I love that he got you thinking. I think we need more of that, because even if you, even if it doesn't change your immediate behavior, it makes you think about it, you know, in the future. And I do think that we should get involved. There should be more engagement, but I also know why more people aren't. So maybe that's something that we can all work on together, is being a little more receptive to other people's opinions. They're not all right, but that doesn't mean they don't have the right to their opinion, right?
Yep.
And not have to fear retaliation or not getting my kids playtime or, you know, or
canceling me from my job.
Yeah, which... Good luck canceling Ash and Fred, I think, right? Because, hey.
Because we got the coffee.
Yeah.
We got the tea.
We got the tea, that's for sure. And the coffee, thanks to EFB.
Yeah.
Thank you again to to that amazing sponsor. We love them over there.
Absolutely.
Is that it for today?
I think it is.
That was a great talk. Thank you to the vlogger who got us thinking and talking.
Yeah.
That's always interesting. So. Yep. Cool. And thanks for bringing the topic.
Yeah.
All right. Because you know I don't have my shit together today. All right. Well, I think that does it for today's
Coffee Talk.